Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Schools in Chugiak and Eagle River are closed, and some workers are being told to stay home today. That's after an accident on the Glen Highway caused a complete closure of the southbound lane in Eagle River. A tall load on a semi-trailer collided with a highway overpass bridge near Eagle River Wednesday, causing damage that prompted state transportation officials to close the highway's southbound lanes for up to 5 days. DOT spokeswoman Shannon McCarthy says the bridge is structurally compromised.
The whole thing was shattered, so the concrete is pulverized and it's not holding any weight anymore. And what is the most problematic part of this is that it's at risk of falling onto the southbound lane.
An average of 57,000 vehicles travel the Glen Highway every day. Yesterday, some people were in their vehicles for more than 5 hours on a reroute that took them through Eagle River. DOT has asked the state for an emergency appropriation of $1.8 million to fix the damaged bridge. A proposed amendment aimed at resolving a long-running power struggle between the state of Alaska and the federal government was left out of a federal spending bill. The amendment to the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA, was crafted by the state in consultation with Anchorage moose hunter John Sturgeon. Sturgeon describes the proposed ANILCA amendment as a long shot to resolve his 7-year legal battle with the National Park Service over a ban on hovercraft use in the Yukon-Charlie Rivers National Preserve.
If it would have went through, I would have got 100% of what I'd asked the Supreme Court for and all the lower courts, that the federal government would not have any control over any inholdings, including navigable waters.
The case has subsistence management implications, and the proposed ANILCA amendment was written in consultation with the Alaska Federation of Natives. A sentence in the amendment confirmed the Secretary of the Interior's authority to protect and provide for subsistence on federal holdings in Alaska.
Basically, what it did is it froze the Katie John decision in the status quo.
The final ruling in the Katie John case backed federal authority to manage subsistence with a rural priority on federal lands and navigable waters within Alaska's national parks and wildlife refuges. But the idea of cementing that power in ANILCA is opposed by the hunting and fishing advocacy group, the Alaska Outdoor Council.
That's completely off the charts. That just gets right down to legitimizing the federal takeover of fish and game management in Alaska.
Outdoor Council Executive Director Rod Arno says formalizing federal control in ANILCA would have prevented future legal challenges.
Once it's in statute, then it would be much harder, if not impossible, for the state to ever challenge.
The Supreme Court turned down a state request for review of the Katie John case in 2014. Failure of the ANILCA amendment leaves the latest ruling in Sturgeon's case, which affirmed Park Service regulatory authority, open to reconsideration by the U.S. Supreme Court. A decision on a review request is pending. The State Department of Law says it will continue to pursue review of Sturgeon's case by the High Court. State air quality regulators are inviting people who live in and around the borough's air pollution-plagued non-attainment area to take a look at a series of draft documents that outline the problem and proposed solutions. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
State Air Quality Division Director Denise Koch says the documents made public by her agency Thursday are drafts that, when completed later this year, will form the basis of the so-called State Implementation Plan, or SIP, that will lay out how the Fairbanks area can reduce its PM2.5 emissions.
These are the building blocks, if you will, of the SIP.
Koch says agency officials posted the documents to promote a two-way exchange of information between them and the public. She says some portions of the documents are incomplete and require information they hope area residents will help them fill in.
There are data gaps, and we're asking the public for additional information.
The documents include dozens of references to those gaps, such as how much number one and number two fuel oil is used locally, broken down into residential and non-residential use. Koch says the agency also wanted to make the documents available to inform people about how it will oversee local efforts to reduce PM2.5 emissions, to attain federal air quality standards in what's now called the serious non-attainment area.
We want complete transparency. We know that this is a very important issue to the community, and we want people to be able to look at our early thinking.
Longtime local air quality advocate Jimmy Fox says he's already reading through the documents, and he urges all other area residents to give them a look so they can appreciate the complexity of the problem and understand the measures the Air Quality Division is planning and considering.
This is the chance to kind of kick the tires on these draft documents and, you know, help the state come up with an implementation plan that we can live with.
Fox says it would behoove residents to get to know the many different strategies that'll be employed under the SIP to clean up the air in the non-attainment area, some of which are sure to raise eyebrows. They include such measures as requiring installation of emissions control technology on so-called stationary sources, such as power plants, which would boost the cost of electricity for ratepayers. Also, possible requirements on the use of ultra-low sulfur heating oil, a costlier but cleaner burning fuel.
What I'm reading here is that, you know, preliminary estimates is that switching to that to help address the problem, you know, it would cost the average household an extra $300 to $400 a year in heating oil costs.
Fox says the locals can help the state understand more about the situation here in Fairbanks and could provide information to regulators that would help them develop a better plan that would work for this area.
What makes this plan successful is really our ownership of that. And I hope that all the citizens in the borough don't shy away from this opportunity.
Fox says some portions of the documents are fairly technical and can make for some dense reading, but he says overall they should be pretty understandable to most folks. Koch says the Air Quality Division wants comments on the documents before May 23rd. They can be found on the division's website, which is accessible off the State Department of Environmental Conservation's homepage. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.